stay. And I didn't feel so great until I saw the city.
Thanks as always for tuning in to Straight from the Source. This is Michael Russo. Really appreciate you always listening, following, subscribing, whatever. And now is again the time to join up at The Athletic. TheAthletic.com/straight from the source will get you in for a discount. My guest today, Andrew Hite. He's a returning champion on the podcast. He's been on two or three times. It's always fascinating listening to the Wild's director of team operations. He's the one of the people that really makes this engine run. He deals with so much stress on the road, it's not even funny. And I don't think anybody ever really understands the amount of things that he has to juggle behind the scenes. It's not just booking flights and hotels. It's so much stuff, especially in today's day and age with COVID-19 protocols. And then, of course, we all know that the Wild right now have a little bit of a COVID issue. So he's had to deal with that. Then there was immigration things and all sorts of stuff. During the last road trip, actually the last couple road trips in this very, very big changing world, and what makes it so much more difficult for a director of team operations, the George Costanza of the Minnesota Wild, so to speak, the assistant to the traveling secretary, only he doesn't have an assistant. So hope everybody likes the return of Andrew Hite, because it's just a fascinating conversation. And I think everybody will realize how stressful his job can get during the season. Tough road trip for the Wild. Start off well with a really nice win in Vancouver. Then they get to Seattle and the alarm bells start going off. They it's their third day, so they do a COVID test in Seattle. That's the way it works in the NHL this season for vaccinated players, and the majority of NHLers are vaccinated, is that every 3 days you get tested. Well, the Wild tested on Sunday, so they had to test again in Vancouver, in Seattle on Wednesday, and that's when Zuccarello and Pitlick popped up and joined Darby Hendrickson, Freddie Shabbat, and TJ Jindra on the COVID-19 protocol list. Bill Guerin had it earlier this season as well. Right now, it feels like the Wild have nipped this in the bud, though, because when that happened, everybody deemed close contacts, which I would assume is the majority of the team. They had to go into a 7-straight-day testing protocol, and so far, no other ones have popped up. So that's good news. But the bad news is they not only show up in Seattle and don't have Pitlick and Zuccarello for the game and have to cancel a much needed practice, but then they show up to the morning skate. Dmitry Kulikov can't get on. Alex Goligoski can get on. He had been hit the night before in a collision with Brock Besser and hurt something in his upper body. And then both players can't play in the game. So John Lizotte, who was really brought up just to be COVID insurance, he was never expected to play. He had to make his NHL debut, and the Wild had to go with a blue line that included Jordy Benn's Wild debut, and then John Merrill and guys getting elevated minutes that they probably normally wouldn't get. Very tough debut for John Lizotte. Jordy Benn, not very good. John Merrill, not very good. And Spurgeon, Brodin, and Dumba felt like had to play every single shift. And the Wild really, after starting well in Seattle, didn't finish well. Another game where Kaprizov wasn't able to score on a couple point-blank chances. Eriksson Ek had a couple pucks in the crease set up by Fiala there in the third period that would have tied the game. He missed those, and just the Wild were doomed from there and wound up losing to Seattle in a game that Seattle deserved to win. Then they go to Denver. It was a scheduled day off in Denver. They go on the ice in Denver. They play much, 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 much better, but a couple mistakes. Adam Beckman makes his NHL debut on a line with Connor Durer and Kyle Rau. They were on the ice for the first goal against. A couple mistakes by them, but they were really left hung out to dry there by a neutral zone step up by Matt Dumba. And then the Wild, were sort of chasing the rest of the night. They finally get a power play goal from Ryan Hartman, and 40 seconds later, some soft defense, but just a great play by Nathan MacKinnon leads to Eric Johnson's winning goal. And it was a type of shift that we have not seen this year from Kirill Kaprizov or Kevin Fiala, where a star just hops over the boards and just decides, I'm taking over the game, I'm going to get my team back into the game. And he just did exactly that by smacking Brodin, setting up the play for Eric Johnson. Gabriel Landeskog, 2 goals, 2 assists. Nathan MacKinnon, a couple assists. And like always, those two just absolutely roast the Wild in Denver. It's just happened over and over and over again the last couple years. And again, their stars being stars, the Wild stars not being stars yet. Kirill Kaprizov, no goals going into Tuesday night's game against the Ottawa Senators. Kevin Fiala, one goal and two assists going into Tuesday night's game against the Ottawa Senators. Fiala said yesterday that he feels like it's coming, that he's trying to do other things while he's keeping it, while attempting to keep his confidence up, staying positive, things like that. So at some point, we've got to think that these two guys are going to be able to break out of the doldrums here. One would hope, though. I'm more actually concerned about Kaprizov than Fiala, because Kaprizov really has not been, just doesn't look even remotely close to the player that we saw last year. Like, there's zero explosiveness to his skating right now. This is not the star that we saw last year, and that is a big concern. $9 million a year, held the team, to not being able to sign him until the day before training camp. Comes into the country, which was great on his own, but kept it secret for I don't even know how long down in Florida, because he was trying to get more and more from the Wild, even though they were offering him the same $9 million contract all summer. So he wanted to be treated like a star, paid like a star. They finally treat him like a star and didn't give him anything more, which I don't know how much more they could have given him for 55 games worth of work. And he comes here and he has no goals through eight games. And sorry, that's when the scrutiny starts, especially when you lose three of your last four games. So he's got to be much, much better. For the most part, the team has been playing hard, working hard, getting depth scoring up and down the lineup, have 20 guys with points. And we'll get to see a second straight game tonight of Adam Beckman. And hopefully they give him more of an opportunity to play elevated minutes. I'd love to see him on the power play. I don't think playing him on the fourth line is the way to go. But this is a much needed game by the Wild tonight. The Ottawa Senators are coming here after a blowout loss in Chicago to the struggling Blackhawks. This is a team that's 3-5. They're better. They do have skill, but this is a team that's still very beatable, especially when you're coming off three games out of four where you've lost, two in a row where you've lost, and then you've got to sit through till Saturday when they play in Pittsburgh. So no games until Saturday after tonight. So this is a much needed 2 points to just sort of end the narrative the next couple games, and hopefully we'll see a Kaprizov or a Fiala breakout, or both of them tonight. We sure know that they have it in them. Again, really thanks to Andrew Height for joining. I really believe that you're going to enjoy this podcast, and here's a word from some of our sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Welcome back to Straight from the Source. Thanks for always for tuning in. And Andrew Height is my returning guest. He's been on here two or three times. Andrew has been with the organization for a long, long time. Came from the Minnesota Twins, the Devil Rays. They call him Whitey. Anytime you hear a Wild player use the term Whitey in a post-game interview and on a podcast, this is who we are referring to. He's not only the director of team operations, he does all the player relations. So he's essentially the concierge, one-man show, the George Costanza of the Minnesota Wild. Welcome back, Whitey.
Thanks, Michael. Appreciate you bringing me back for story time.
And this is really cool because you are breaking in the new athletic mic stands that were sent to me in the mail. I think they're getting tired of me always hitting on the mic and making all sorts of other noises. So you're getting to christen it.
Well, I'll give the review when we're done and see how it goes.
So Whitey is, as I always say, I mean, you're the engine that makes this thing vroom. It is unbelievable the amount of things you have to work on. It's not just like people that think that this would be a fun job that, oh, you get to book charters and hotels for a hockey team. It's the least of what you have to deal with. And we learned that again last week with assistant coaches going into COVID-19 protocol, a couple players going into COVID-19 protocol. The first time in a couple years since the bubble that you guys had to fly into Canada, fly back, and all the challenges there. Where do you want to start with this crazy, crazy last week, Whitey?
Yeah, I guess I'd say, this job is always evolving, right? Like, you look at it 8 years ago and the stuff I'm doing dealing with now compared to then is 100% different. I John Worley, our head medical trainer, and I talk frequently, and you know, the amount of knowledge I know from a medical standpoint now, I would never have fathomed that. So with all the COVID-19 protocols and compliance that each team is dealing with on a daily basis, with the league, it's never ending, really. It is. So like you had mentioned last week, we had another situation where we had to reinvent the wheel once again, as a few of our coaches went into COVID-19 protocol before leaving on the road trip. And then, of course, once we got on the road trip, we had a couple guys go down with it as well. So, looking at this year compared to last year and the year before, we're trying to live a normal life here, right? We're trying to travel normal. We're trying to play and execute the games normal. And you just got to really...
Players going back to their players are living their lives outside the rink, so it's impossible. Like last year, it felt like there were all these protocols to try to keep everybody healthy, and it still bit teams. Obviously, the Minnesota Wild being one of them. But this year, it is sort of the Wild West. You know, go home to your family, go grocery shopping, go to restaurants, be safe. But you're gonna catch this clearly now that we're seeing the vaccinated players are still getting the illness.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what I talking to multiple people about this. You know, I look at the last three seasons or the last 3 years that since COVID, began in March, I believe it was March 12th was our last game that was canceled against the Vegas Golden Knights here at home. I remember that day like it was yesterday. We got the call, and I went into the locker room and I told coach, and I said, we have to send these guys home. And telling the guys, I said, hey, keep your phones on, you guys. You know, I imagine you're going to come back for the game. Well, clearly we didn't, and a lot has happened since then. But looking at the last two and a half years, when the restart happened and the bubbles were created, going up to Edmonton, I will say that's probably one of the strangest career opportunities, I guess you could call it, that I will ever be a part of. But it was very contained, and there was nothing, we went however X number of weeks with zero positive cases, and that was in the heart of it all, right? So as strange as it was very safe, and the league finished what they wanted to start, and they finished the season, and we got to the Stanley Cup champions at the end of it all. So as strange as it was a positive, right? And then with last year only being in divisional play, and selfishly I liked going out to the West Coast. You had the sunny California weather and Arizona, and it was still contained, right? There was still heavy protocols in place where it protected us, and it also managed the expectations of the room. Where this year it is, I don't want to say wild, wild west, but we're navigating through an open world. Mm-hmm. And it is, there's proof that vaccinated players and staff members are getting it, as well as common people in the world. And it's just, how do we manage it, and what other forms of safety and protocols will be put into place?
So, I just flew to Vancouver for the first time. I hadn't been to Canada in a couple years since our father-son trip, actually, to Vancouver and Edmonton. And for me, it was I had to get a negative test, had to download the Arrive Canada app. I still landed in Vancouver and got randomly selected to get tested. So I've been tested like 8 times in the last week, which could explain my nosebleeds every morning. How did that work for the team? I mean, you guys, we know that Bill Guerin was cleared of COVID-19 protocol, but he was not allowed to go to Vancouver because I think he had to be 14 days clear of having the illness. A couple of players, you guys all fly there after getting tested that morning before the trip. How does that work?
Correct. Yeah, we still have to abide by the border rules and, mm-hmm. and Canadian laws that are put into place, and you're correct. I think Bill was at day 10 of his quarantine, which from a league standpoint, yes, he was cleared, but traveling into Canada, he was not. So he met us on the trip in Seattle. And yeah, it's traveling private through Delta, we still have to follow all of the rules put in place. So, the night before, I'm rapidly putting in 25 arrive can apps in guys' phones and, you know, walking them through it and making sure they're clear. And
that had to be a stressful thing, knowing that you were trying to get 23 players to follow directions. I mean,
it was. And to, on top of that, Michael, listen to this one. So we get onto the plane, and it's really the first long flight we've had, you know, since last season going into California. And, you know, the preseason games are quick in and outs. And so we get on the plane, and my Delta coordinator says, FYI, Andrew, there's no Wi-Fi on this plane today. And my whole plan going into that long trip was going to each guy and making sure their arrive can app was loaded properly. And as soon as we got to 10,000 feet, there was no Wi-Fi.
Oh,
so
boy.
I sat on a stressful 3-hour flight, hoping that I did it all properly. And the guys that attempted to do it loaded it properly as well.
Because it's actually, like, I did the Arrive Canada app. It's easy, but it's not self-explanatory. Like, I didn't know. It had, like, almost no category for working media and, like, why you're arriving. So I, like, put myself as a foreign national, which I'm the whole time seeing with me, I'm stressing, like, they're going to be like, who the heck are you? You're not a foreign national.
And we had a, you know, we had a separate set of answers, you could say, coming in on a private plane for exempt employees, right? So, but knock on wood, we all got into Canada okay. And, you know, the customs agents were very accommodating, and it was good. It was great to get across the border again and play hockey. And, you know, looking at our home opener a few weeks back, you know, the conversation was, we haven't had a full building in the XL Energy Center in 595 days.
Yeah.
And we look at that going into Canada, and that's the same, you know, the same amount of time, and just the energy of the guys, you know, being able to travel like normal and playing teams like Winnipeg or Vancouver or getting to Seattle and, you know, playing those teams outside of the six or seven that we played last year. It's very invigorating and really gets energy back into the room.
Yeah, imagine the Canucks. That was their first time with any fans in 2 years. So that's pretty crazy. Finish the game in Vancouver, you get them on the bus, you go to the airport, you land in the middle of the night in Seattle. I heard that was a bit of a cluster.
Luckily, yeah, it was. And you know, with Seattle being new into the league, right? I don't know. I can't quote this, and you might want to look this up, but I don't know if we were the first professional private charter to arrive into Seattle. You know, I would assume the Toronto Raptors aren't flying cross country and crossing in Seattle, as are, you know, the Toronto Blue Jays, right? So we have to clear customs on the U.S. side, and let's just say there was some learning curves from their standpoint
from the customs agents.
On the custom agents. We'll just leave it at that. I don't want to be contained here.
Yeah, I know. And especially not being since we have to be back there in a couple of weeks. Now the next morning the way it works in the NHL, our vaccinated players get tested every 3 days. So you tested on Sunday. It's now Wednesday in Seattle. You guys go to the rink, and boom, a couple of players, Zuccarello and Pitlick, as we now know, tested positive for the virus. How does that all work?
Yeah, there's two times that the players joke that they don't like to see Whitey walking through the room. Mm-hmm. It's during final cuts of training camp and COVID testing days. And they all, when I walk into the room, they put their heads down, right? They don't want to make eye contact with me, and they definitely don't want to talk to me. And that's the thing. We, you know, it, all jokes aside, yeah, it happened again, right? We did our due diligence, we tested, and, you know, a few of our guys had to go into COVID protocol, and selfishly, I would have liked it to happen in Chicago or St. Louis when they were a quick drive away, but it happened in Seattle again, and we have to follow protocol and get these guys isolated and really not only talk with the league, but talk with our medical directors and make sure that we're making sure that they're in a safe environment, but also the people around us, and really staying, you know, on top of the staff that we work with, the hotels, the buses, the flight, you know, the charter people. We want to make sure that we're not endangering them as well. So it really, it's a long list of people that need to be checked off on information.
Now last year, you were actually part of a select few number of PR people that actually picked specific hotels in each market. We could talk about the San Jose situation at some point here too. In each market to actually be designated as team hotels on the road, because there were all sorts of protocols that these hotels had to follow, including isolated wings and things like that. If there were players or staff that tested positive for the virus while on the road, we saw that happen in Denver. Is that
that the same thing now? Like, do you have to have a separate, you know, plan with the hotel in Seattle in case something like this happened? Is that where Zuccarello and Pitlick ended up?
Yeah, last year that was one of the big things. There was a small group of myself and counterparts that got together and worked with the league and established select hotels, right? Like you said, the protocols were so strict last year that if we were using, say, two or three or four different hotels in each city, it would have been a disaster in a fact of, you know, these hotels knew what we were living through. They were up to date on any of the updates that the league were sending us. It went very well, right? Mm-hmm. Well, this year we're back to normal booking and travel and everything. So each of us got to choose our own hotels, and a lot of them are the same, but there's a few that are different. And with COVID happening this year, it was really working with the hotel and making sure that we fall in line with the city jurisdictions and making sure that we follow what they need instead of what we expect them to help us with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, isolating those guys, locking them in their rooms, taking their keys away from them.
Wow.
You know, a knock and drop, they call it, for food. So there's zero interaction as far as that goes. And then really finding out and figuring out options to get them home, yeah. Right? The last thing we want to do is have our players forced to stay in a hotel that's 1,200 miles away from their home.
Yeah.
And that's where the next piece of the puzzle comes in with, you know, just like last year doing the AeroCare medical jets and making sure that we safely get them home.
Right. And so Zuccarello and Pitlick, that's how they got back.
Yes. Okay. They, you know, just like last year, I, you know, I hate to look at the bill at these, on these things, but it's needed, right? Yeah. It's one of those where this is our only option, unless you want to get them in a car and ask them to drive 1,200 miles, which I don't think, whether you're healthy or not, isn't ideal. Mm-hmm. So this was our option, and working with my charter company that I work with on a regular basis, which we'll talk about another charter story towards the end of the show here, which will get a good chuckle out of everybody. But
I hear it's a classic.
it is one for the ages. But yeah, it's getting them home safe.
Yeah, great tease, by the way, Andrew. You're good at this. I get people to stick around for the full pod. First of all, I can't, there's so many protocols and I don't even understand them. I'm reading about like Zuccarello and I'm doing the math. 10 days. 10 days sort of is it Friday or Saturday? Like, are they eligible to play Saturday?
They would if, you know, it's, and that's the thing that's has evolved from the protocols of last year. Mm-hmm. Right. So you know, with all of our full group being fully vaccinated, as Bettman's come out and said, there's very few in the league that aren't, right? So we're working ahead and the protocols continue to change and you know, as quick as we want to get them back, we want to make sure that they're safe and healthy. And yes, it would be 10 days would bring us to Friday. So if they're symptom free and are, you know, feeling good and testing negative, then yes. But we need to make sure we follow protocol and the right timeline as we advance.
Now, close contacts of Zuccarello and Pitlick had to get tested 7 straight days. So, how do you deem close contact? Is, by definition, close contact every player?
Well, just like when the coaches group went down, you know, we work with I'm the compliance officer for the club this year, working with Chris O'Hearn closely along with John Worley. And then we have a contact tracing agent as well. So, you know, the group of us get together and we speak with the individuals and kind of put together that timeline of what's happened, who have been in contact for, you know, longer than X amount of minutes. And, you know, there's a long list that we need to check off. And, you know, from the safety standpoint, it's easiest just to test everybody, mm-hmm. right? And make sure everyone's healthy.
And you've got to be really, knock on wood, and we are sitting at a wood table. You have to be really delighted that so far it feels like you have nipped this in the bud, that there's been no more positive tests that we know of.
Yeah, I'd say that we're over the hump on this one, right? You know, and I think we're going to continue to see this evolve throughout the year. And you know, as teams and people are living their lives normal, we're going to, you know, things are going to pop up. But you see that with other teams, you know, San Jose had to scramble, you know, a few days ago, and you know, there'll be teams that we're not the only ones that are going to have to deal with this throughout.
All right. Let's now you go to Denver.
you have to, all of a sudden, you have not only the COVID situation, but you have injuries to Kulikov, to Greenway, to Galagos. You have Iowa and Fargo on its way to the Canadian border. Tell me about that whole situation.
Yeah, that, yeah. You know, thinking about it, you know, you look at the last 48 hours of what we just ran through, and it's getting through customs. And then the COVID outbreak, and you know, we get into Denver, which we're very familiar with, right? We went there last year. They're a division rival. You know, travel into Denver should be very easy, right? And in normal times, it's almost a city that I can breathe easy in, right? It's close to the rink. It's a beautiful hotel. Boxes are checked. Let's move on, right? But that never happens anymore, it seems.
Especially in Denver, where I'm sorry, like this is where the pandemic began for you guys, pretty much.
Yes, so last year, that's where it was one
of
the toughest.
We'll go back and talk about that if we have time, because I want everybody to hear that story in that manic episode.
Yeah, I would say looking at it, I would say that is still my toughest day of my career, was that day in Denver last year.
Yeah, we'll go to that. But tell us about this one.
We get into Denver, and like you had said, we had the COVID cases plus, you know, a couple guys that were on the shelf from the night before. And again, working with Chris and John and being, you know, Chris talking to Coach and Billy and trying to put the puzzle together, we're like, you know, how can we get enough guys, right? So all of a sudden,
it's a testing day, right?
So everyone's on pins and needles hoping that everything comes back negative. And so then all of a sudden, we hold the Iowa team at the border because we don't know how many guys are going to either test positive or what the medical decisions are going to be made. So I speak with Benny, my counterpart up in Iowa, and Chris talks to Mike Murray and say, hey, we need to stop them at the border, because if they go into Canada, hard telling if we're going to be able to get them out quick enough. So,
and just so everyone, Chris O'Hearn is the Wild assistant GM, and Mike Murray is the director of hockey operations and the Iowa GM.
Correct. Yep. Okay. So, you know, we kind of halted them there, and I believe they spent two or three hours at a local mall anxiously waiting for us to give them the green light. It's the snowball effect, right? One thing happens, and then all of a sudden we need bodies, and then flights. And I would say this, in normal times, flights into certain cities like Denver or Minneapolis or Chicago are easy. But I feel like right now, nothing is easy. And there's very few options. And so
Fargo to Denver is not a lot of flights.
I would have to say this. I found a nonstop. So I'm going to pat myself on the back there. But I believe it was a nonstop on Frontier.
Wow.
And we got both Addison and Beckman in from Fargo nonstop that night. But also, we need to send John Lizotte down, and there is no options from Denver into Winnipeg. Let's just say that. And I believe we made that decision about 12:30 in the afternoon. And I quick chat with my travel agent, and she said there's a 2:30. And if you guys aren't familiar with Denver International, it's about 40-minute drive. So
2:30 luckily, through Minneapolis type thing.
Yes, it was 2:30 through Minneapolis. And luckily, Tony DaCosta, our head equipment guy, was at the rink sharpening. So I quick call him. Hey, pull Lizotte's gear. We're sending him. He'll be there in 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. We got on the horn with John, explained the situation. We got a car service for him. Quick turnaround. He ran and got his gear. Going into Canada, he needed the Arrive Can app. He needed a negative test, you know, all of that stuff on top of it. Yeah. And I said, hey, you get in the car. I'll send you everything you need. Let's work through it on the next 40-minute drive. And knock on wood, we got him at the gate in time, and he got on the plane, and he met the Iowa Wild in Winnipeg that night. Yeah. So, you know, talking situational, you know, it's one after the other. And then when you put it all together, it's it makes for quite the day.
And you mentioned the snowball effect. When you do stuff like this too, it changes everything. I mean, like, you got to change bus times, per diems. I mean, it's the transportation, as you mentioned. I mean, there's just it's not just like your minute's not done. You've got like 50 other things that now get readjusted with every single thing that you have to do, right?
Yeah, I work off of a checklist. I think it's about 18 to 20 bus boxes that I check each trip. And then when a roster move happens, it's about 10 to 12, making sure that the snowball falls in the right spot as it trickles down the hill.
Yeah.
And, you know, to add to the excitement of the day, bringing Beckman in, and then we weren't able to get Connor Dewar's parents into Seattle on time for his debut. So both of them were playing again that night in Colorado. And talking with Billy and Chris, we thought it was best to try to get their families in. And you should have seen the smiles on both of their faces. I think it's a really cool thing that the PA and league do, allowing the team, or, you know, almost it's mandatory, right? So making the team take the time to get the families in for NHL debuts, and it's a once in a lifetime thing, right? Yeah, so it's pretty cool, and seeing the smiles on their faces, like I said, was pretty
Cool. Poor Kalen Addison's family has never seen him play still, and he's played what, 9 games in the National Hockey League, including the playoffs. So when will that happen?
It's funny you say that. Actually, Addy walked into my office yesterday and we chatted about that. You know, with last year being the way it is, you know, Addison hasn't either as Kirill Kaprizov. So let's put them on the books this year and hopefully get those debut trips done as well. So but with their families travel as well, you know, I complain about ours the last couple of days, but I believe Beckman's parents had to go from Saskatoon to Toronto to Denver.
Wow.
And Dewar's family had to go Winnipeg to Seattle to Denver. Wow. So definitely not easy day of travel for both families, but it made it all good when they stepped into the arena that night.
Yeah, as you mentioned, I mean, just flights are so limited now. I can't even, like, we have the trip to Edmonton, San Jose. My travel that day is hellacious. I got like 3 stops leaving Calgary. I have to go Edmonton, Calgary, I think Vancouver or Seattle, and then down to San Francisco. I can't even fly into San Jose.
And I would say that's another place where we're spoiled as an organization. And credit to Craig and you know, the upper management team, having Iowa be our farm system, right? It's a quick drive up or a quick drive back. And when we're home, it makes my life a lot easier. I joke with my counterpart at the Twins when they were in Rochester, New York. You know, he would always text me, you know, no flights available, going through this city, going through that city. And I said, now you've got it really easy going from St. Paul to Minneapolis. Do you even have a housing contract set up, or what's your place there?
Pretty crazy. So let's go back to last February. Foligno tests positive here, on, I think, on a Sunday. Doesn't play that night against whoever you're playing at home. Might have been Colorado. I can't remember. And then you guys go to Denver. Play the Avalanche, and the next day you find out that I think it was Bukestad tested positive. You find this out early in the morning, and now you call an all-team PCR test. I think you take everybody by a dozen players on a bus, like multiple trips to the airport, because you don't want to put everybody on the same bus for testing, and that's when you have now a handful of guys, the Spurgeon, a bunch of guys test positive. To bring us to that day, because you mentioned that was, I can't even imagine what you had to deal with that day.
Yeah, I would say that is definitely, Michael, that is still one of my toughest days of work. You know, getting those initial calls and meeting with Chris and John and saying, what do we do next, right? What's our plan of attack here? Like you said, Foligno was already back home. He had already tested. And we didn't really know what this thing, you know, what this nasty virus was yet at that point, right? Or how quick is it going to spread through a locker room? And when the next guy news came in, we had to test a full group. And so we bussed everyone down to the arena, and you know, it was a pretty eerie feeling as we got off the bus and there was multiple testers in PPE gear and outside, and you know, just it wasn't a good feeling. And making sure that we got the job done, but again, making sure everyone stayed safe through it all was our biggest, you know, focus. And then as soon as we started getting positive test after positive test, that's when we really sat back and said, okay, now what's next? How do we get these guys back safe? And that's where the medical jets came into play, and you know, quarantining in the hotel, and really being, you know, keeping the communication levels high on all levels, making sure that everyone that was involved with us knew what the situation was. Yeah.
And didn't you, so you send about six or seven guys, the Beninos, you know, Busted, Spurgeons, all those guys back via medical jet. And then you guys now, the game, the second game of the home, the consecutive games is is canceled. Everybody that's negative takes a charter back to Minnesota. But on the morning of the charter, if I remember, Nico Sturm tested positive and you had to book a second medical jet, right?
Yeah, so we had to have another all team test, right? Mm-hmm. And that's where it was kind of waiting on pins and needles, you know, working with our Delta crew, you know, making sure that we hit all the right rules that they have in place as we board a plane for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And that's where, yes, the next couple happened. And so I had to circle the old med jet back again, as it continued to tick away at my budget. And it wasn't a good day. Yeah. There was nothing good about that stretch of, gosh, a week to 10 days, really. Yeah. Yeah. We get home and, you know, everyone's like, you know, when are we going to restart? Yeah. We had no idea.
Because then you get home and it felt like every day more guys were added. At one point, you had 17 players, I believe, on the COVID protocol
that,
list.
You know what? I've tried to erase that time in my head. But yes, that does sound accurate around that number. And you know, then it's working with local hotels that would allow us to quarantine and have food service set up because we didn't want to endanger, you know, the families and kids as well.
Amazing. What a crazy existence, and then all the things that go through it. And then I should do a podcast with Chris O'Hearn and talk about how the heck he was able to piece together this lineup one day, because I'm telling you, like, that I had a conversation with him during this and he explained everything, and it was just as much of an existence, as tough an existence that you had. John Worley and him were, as Bill Guerin always says, the three MVPs of that whole time.
Trust me, we've spent the last 2 years, the three of us, I think, have spent more time together than we have with our families.
Yeah.
And by the end of each day, I think we can tell on our facial expressions that we are just absolutely wiped.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And then there are just all sorts of other protocols. Like, I remember, I mean, here's the weirdest one that I still remember from last year, is you guys swap Ian Cole for Greg Pattern. It should be the easiest day in the history of trades for Andrew Hite, and it turns out to be because one's in LA, the other's in Anaheim, so it's just, all right, go the 40 minutes. But even that was insane, because you're like, you were gonna have the bus, and then you realized the bus wasn't allowed to take him back, because, you know, and then like, even like, you can't, like, I think you sent a car service Cole down there, but you couldn't send Pattern back in the same car because it wasn't disinfected. I mean, stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't want to talk out of turn, but I don't know, maybe that's the only way that deal got done, was because they could, if they had to run the 40 miles, they would run the 40 miles. Yeah. But, you know, because it was a easier transaction in COVID times than, you know, if getting on a plane, because at that point they would have had to quarantine. You would have been down a body for 7 days or whatever it was. And so, yes, we made the trade, and working with my counterparts in Colorado, like you said, they were in, I believe, they were in LA and we were in Anaheim, and we just made the swap. But hitting protocol, you know, we couldn't use the buses, we couldn't use the car services. We had to find a certain car service that had enough space between them and the driver. You know, how do they get their gear? You know, it's just like you said, one that should be as turnkey as possible or as easy as possible wasn't. And that's what our whole year was, right? It was just continual reinventing of the wheel to make sure that we could get to the end goal.
Great example that just popped in my head. Tell everybody the story where all of a sudden you wake up, I think you're in Arizona, and find out that the San Jose hotel that you organized to house every team in San Jose last year closed immediately because it went into bankruptcy.
And that's what's the toughest part. And you see, you know, I think all of us can think about someone that has been really affected by this COVID outbreak or COVID situation the last couple of years. But it's really hurt the service industry. And, you know, working with buses and hotels and planes and restaurants on a daily basis, those are my people that I work with and rely on every day. And they're struggling to navigate to reopen. And when things were really bad, hotels were closing because of staffing issues, because of, occupancy jurisdictions in each city. And yes, the Fairmont in San Jose, actually, I believe Vegas was in San Jose.
Like they had to move out of their hotel
during morning skate, I believe. Yeah. They had to move across town. And I text my counterpart, Rick Bronstein with the Vegas Golden Knights. And I said, how's your day going? And we chatted after the fact, and it was out of their power, and the doors were locked, and they had to move hotels
in
the middle of the afternoon. Yeah. I joked with them. I said, it's not as stressful as moving in the middle of the night when I had the fire in Calgary, but it's still a game day and stressful situation.
And if you're a Wild fan listening to this podcast, go back and listen to my I've had Andrew on a couple times, I think, on podcasts. And those podcasts, the last one was on the morning in New Jersey where you had a travel problem that you eventually wound up, I think, landing in Detroit instead of back here in Minnesota. And then we have the one where he talks about some unbelievable stories from like his first day on the job. His first week on the job was as good as it gets when it comes to stories in terms of this job. I want to talk to you just real on four different subjects. One, the whole Kirill Billy thing, the whole getting him signed, but waiting on the schedule, the retreat in Duluth, and then the Winter Classic. But let's start with the schedule. This summer, you have to learn new protocols. You have to get all these players back here, but the schedule doesn't come out until really late August, early September, which I had to think has to affect you because you're the one booking all this travel. I mean, you can't just call Delta last second and say, I need a charter. You can't call a hotel. I mean, you need to set things up, and there were multiple schedules because we didn't know if there was going to be an Olympic break or not.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Michael. It's one of those where the big part of my job is going from point A to B to C and making sure everything is set. And usually I do that when the schedule comes out in June, right? Well, with the season being pushed back last year, with the Stanley Cup not happening until the third week? Mm-hmm. Second or third week in July, right? And then the draft happening and the schedule still not out because, like you said, we were still up in the air if we were doing the Olympics or not. And so something that I would normally have done in June didn't get done until August. And then all of a sudden, guys.
Super late August. I remember talking to you during the state fair and you were completely like frantic about what to do.
You know, it's one of those where I like to put that to bed early because that's controlled. That's a controlled part of my job. But happening as late as it did, guys are starting to come back into town. We're starting captain practice. We have the prospect camp here at Tria Rink with the Chicago Blackhawks this year, training camp. And as all of that stuff, the madness is going on, the busiest 2 weeks of my year, I'm still trying to book hotels, confirm with Delta, do scheduling, do equipment transfers. And it was a hectic time where, the hotels are antsy to get people back in them, right? So when we think, hey, this hotel is going to be great for us, who knows if we're allowed to get in? A lot of the big companies that didn't do their retreats, didn't have their corporate meetings, are trying to fit it into the fourth quarter, and they have no room for us, right? Mm-hmm. So we had to adjust a little bit on where we stay and whatnot. But, you can't fault the league. There's no fault to anyone, really.
Yeah, right? It's just a pain.
It's the pain that we had to work through, and it was the schedule that we were given.
Yeah, I think that people don't realize that just because there were two schedules, one with the Olympic break and one without, but the one without the Olympic break, it doesn't just all of a sudden you plug in a bunch of games in that 2 week window. It changed everything.
No, I can say that. I will say that.
Yeah, you're probably one of the only people that saw the revised schedule, and I'm sure it was not easy to just.
When I received the revised schedule and I look at it, it was drastically different.
Yeah.
And so that's where, calling my global hotel reps across the country, I said, there's no point in doing any of this work. Mm-hmm. Because if we go a different route, it is all out the window.
Yeah.
So it was a hurry up and wait game. And luckily we got everything done and ready.
Kirill Kaprizov signs on the eve of training camp, essentially. Bill Guerin gets a call on a Monday morning, I believe it was. He was meeting with his staff. It was Paul Theofanis. he says you need to get down to Florida. Tell us how this all came about.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I'm sure Billy has told you a little bit about these couple days. But he was meeting with the coaching staff. All of a sudden, I get a text. I knew he was in the meeting with the coaches, too. And I get a text from Billy. He says, book me a flight to Florida ASAP. So I did. And, you know, he walks by my office. He said, I'll call you on the way. Right. So he was on his way to Florida. And we get him down there. And he, you know, he has his meetings with Paul and Krill, and mm-hmm. And then it's getting him back, right? So you know, he was planning to fly commercial that next evening back to Minnesota, and so I went to bed like all was good, and I get a call from Billy from Florida the next morning, and said, you know, he asked when's the quickest private jet you can set up, right? What's the quickest time we can get back? So I call my charter company again, and you know, what are options from Miami Beach to Minneapolis? And again, just like a lot of things in this world right now, it's not available, right? We had one option. You know, first I looked into our owner's jet. Craig gave us the green light to use that, but his pilots had already timed out for the day, so that sat unused. And you know, the next option I found was a jet in Chicago that, you know, we did the math, and by the time they got to Miami Beach and back to Minneapolis, the pilots would have timed out. And timing out means, you know, they have a block of a window that they can work in and be up in the air. And if they time out, they can't take the trip. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Chicago one, that was not an option. So I finally call my charter company back and I say, I just need an option as soon as possible in a 150 mile radius of Miami Beach. Just find me an option. And he said, okay, give me 20. So he called me back 20 minutes later. He said, I found a plane. It's in Boca Raton.
Great airport.
Great airport.
I'm disappointed that I didn't know that this was happening, because I used to have all these sources at that airport when I was covering the Panthers.
So. You know what? I would have loved to task you with this one, Michael. See if you can do it for one day.
Yeah, yeah.
But no. So he's like, I found one in Boca Raton. The caveat of it all is he needs to be up in the air in 2.5 hours. I said, okay. I hang up. I call Billy. I said, I found you one. You need to be on the plane, doors shut, in 2.5 hours.
Tell him to sign the contract now.
Otherwise, they time out again.
Right.
They time out as well. So he goes, we're doing it. Krill was staying on the island with a couple other buddies at that time. He was proactive.
Fisher Island.
He was proactive and coming over and, mm-hmm. you know, doing everything he needed to prepare to be ready for camp.
Yeah.
But he was staying out there, and so he had to ferry out and get his bags, and then come back, and they had to make their drive up. And you know, I'm pulling up the drive time on my phone, and the traffic just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And I pretty much told Billy, I said, Billy, we got to get in the car and go now.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're not going to make it. And they did. Right. They started the drive up. And they're making their way up, and like you said, they were with Paul Theofanis, Krill's agent as well, and he needed to go to the airport out of Fort Lauderdale first, and then he was going to give Billy his car to drive up to Boca Raton with, so that they didn't have to worry about Ubers or, you know, getting another car. And I hope I'm not, you know, this isn't my last day on the job telling the story in full here, because it gets good.
Yeah.
So they drop Paul off, and Billy and Krill are, you know, speeding up to Boca Raton. And about 5 minutes into the drive, Paul calls Billy and says, do not shut that car off. I forgot the key fob in my pocket. Right. So they make a U-turn, drive back to the airport, and Krill sticks his hand out the window, grabs the key fob, and they continue on. Otherwise, if they would have shut the car off,
they would not have turned it on.
It would not have turned on. Exactly.
Get a protein bar.
Exactly.
Whatever.
So,
holy crap.
So they're cruising up to Boca Raton now. They're up against the limit, right? The time is just ticking away. Traffic is terrible. You know, I'm sure they're running every red light. I'm sure they're jumping barriers, whatever they need to do to get there on time. And of course, I'm pacing in my kitchen and my wife is just laughing at me. Yeah. You know, she's like, what are you like? This is just comedy. It's pure comedy.
Yeah.
And so I'm talking to my charter guy. I'm talking to the pilot. I'm talking to Billy. I'm texting with Kirill because Billy's driving. And finally, my charter company contact calls me and he goes, they have 11 minutes to get on this plane. Otherwise, it's out of our hands.
Wow.
And so I called Billy. I said, Billy, you have 10 minutes. Where are you? He goes, we're 3 miles away.
Yeah.
And
I-95 to Glades Road. I know it right there.
And they literally, he said, I think they missed a turn at some point. They jumped a median.
Yeah.
And
when you get off at I-95, to get on the service road that gets you to Boca Airport is very confusing. Very confusing.
So if you make
a right instead of just going straight, like you're essentially screwed for like a mile.
So they
then you hit
get in. You. I believe they just left their keys. They threw their keys at the front desk, and they got the door shut with, I think, 2.5 minutes to
spare. That's crazy. So. That would explain why I kept on getting like, you got to be careful when you put this out and all this stuff. So, and then Billy at the presser, he goes, there's an unbelievable story to tell on this, but it's too long. Like he said, like at the presser. And so this is the story that he was referring to.
That's the story. And
unbelievable. I could
breathe easy once the wheels got up in the air.
What a but crazy
they both
crazy.
Made it back in time for day one of camp.
Yeah,
and that was the goal through it all.
Yeah.
And again, I hope I'm not talking out of turn here, but to add another level to this story, you know how hard Chris O'Hearn has worked with Billy on getting this deal done, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's months in the making. And that start of that week, Chris got called to jury duty.
Oh my God.
And he's on jury duty as all of this is going down, you know, sneaking his phone in, I'm sure, I don't know, but sneaking his phone in and you know, making sure Billy's okay, making sure the deal's going to get done, making sure Billy has all the information needed. It was just a very eventful couple days.
Unbelievable. Couple other quick subjects, then we'll wrap up the podcast. Whitey, I appreciate all the time this morning. But Duluth, you know, that's the next thing that you had a plan in training camp, getting these guys up for a team bonding trip. They were up at the resort. They had a bunch of fun stuff, a golf outing. Tell us about that whole trip.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'm glad you brought up Duluth because it definitely brought normal back to our group. You know, we've been going over two years now of not normal activity, and to be able to have a retreat with the guys, with our travel group, you know, coaches, hockey ops, players, support staff, you know, getting that group of 50 plus together outside of a work environment is so important as we begin the grind of what the season is. And what was really cool about this trip too was Mike Modano and Mikko Koivu joined. And they're both been, you know, on the staff and part of advising Billy and just being around. And it was so cool to see and be a part of, you know, the late night campfire chats of, you know, guys like Jordan Greenway, Marcus Foligno, Alex Goligoski, our captain Jared Spurgeon, sitting around the table, just eyes wide open, listening to stories that, you know, of Mike Modano and firsthand, right? And just experience stories that Mike shared with us. And it was a cool couple days there. And you know, Mikko being a part of it now from a non-player standpoint and, you know, still having the respect that he has, that he had while he was a player and now is, you know, on the other side of it to see that interaction unfold. And, you know, guys like Goose who played with Billy, right?
Yep.
So story time came out there too. And you know, it was just a really cool couple of days. Like you said, we had some really fun activities when it came to golf and, you know, a pig roast. I can say, I think we talked on our other podcasts or you've had interviews with guys about monkey money.
Yeah.
And there's always been some monkey money stories that have come out that what can they get Andrew to do to make a little extra cash? So let's just say there was a monkey money opportunity on the trip as well that included some pig roast eyeballs and I got the deal done there and it was a fun couple days and just really helps kind of set the tone for what the year is to come.
Right. And just lastly, I mean, Winter Classic coming up January 1st. It's going to be a primetime game. Every Wild fan is looking forward to it. There's going to be family skates. There's going to be all sorts of cool things the league does. What is your planning part of planning this big event?
It's really already begun, right? It started months ago. Mm-hmm. There's a small committee that have worked very hard on this activity and event. And, you know, we had the stadium series, I believe, in 2016 at TCF Bank, and we played the Blackhawks. So we have the St. Louis Blues coming in this year, and we're at Target Field over in Minneapolis. And selfishly, I'm pretty giddy about this one as two of my passions collide, as you had mentioned earlier in the podcast, that I came from the Minnesota Twins. So being able to work with a lot of my counterparts and former staffers over there, and really to kick off another unbelievable event, and really just, you know, walking out of the clubhouse is going to be pretty cool, as guys with skates do.
Yeah, so really cool. Is there going to be behind the scenes like kind of Becoming Wild type 24/7 thing? And I know that's something the league was looking at meeting with.
Yeah,
with
seen TNT. The content calendar. I think we're going to have some pretty cool stuff coming out just with the access behind the scenes and music and.
Yeah, all sorts of cool music. Cool. There's going to be all sorts of rinks on the ice beyond just the big one. It's going to be a really neat event to celebrate hockey in this awesome market.
Yeah, so. I think we've been, you know, it's been a long time coming, but I think we couldn't have had it any better way with kicking it off this year.
So when I used to watch Seinfeld, I used to think, man, that'd be a great job to be the assistant traveling secretary, whatever Costanza was. But every time I do a podcast with you, Whitey, like, my heart thumps, because I just think of the amount of things that you're able to do and keep organized that there is no way that my mind would be able to wrap around. I just would lose all. It would create so much anxiety in my life. So I don't even know how you do it while navigating a new bride, a new baby. All this type of stuff. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I appreciate you wanting me to come on, and as I look at my phone continuing to buzz again, I'll have a good hour of email catch up now to do, because you stole me.
Yeah, I know. I saw your phone lighting up, as has mine right now. So, hey, Whitey, as always, thanks a lot, and here's a word from one of our sponsors. Once again, thanks to Andrew Height for joining this week's podcast. I really love when I get to sit down with the guy they call Whitey. Podcasts throughout our network, I really, really love The Athletic Hockey Show USA, hosted every week by Craig Custance and John Chandil. Their guest this week, former NHL captain Bryce Salvador. And thanks for listening to Straight from the Source. Please follow us on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to leave a rating and review. Subscribe to The Athletic Audio Plus on Apple Podcasts to get all the bonus content from our entire network. And start with a 30-day free trial, then just 99 cents a month after that. And right now, annual subscriptions to The Athletic are $3.99 a month when you visit theathletic.com/straight from the source. Talk to you next week, everybody.